men that you've known that can just sit down and quote book after book of the Bible. I'm not one of them. But I do have a lot of scripture that God has given me through the years, and I've worked on it. So I want to have this as a practical, kind of open discussion with regarding this important subject of scripture memory. And I think in my life I've looked at different periods of time in my life with regard to scripture memory, where there were periods of time where I just really consumed a lot of scripture, memorized a lot of scripture, and then it was kind of like in remission, and I just was struggling to kind of maintain it. And then there would be another period of time where I had another burst, and I'm trying at this particular time in my life to consistently salt away the scripture. And I've got some ideas, and I'll share those with you of how I'm doing that. Kind of reclaiming some of the verses that I've used in my life. I think the goal of our time, or the second goal of our time, is obviously that to know and to understand and apply the scripture to your daily life. And what better way of doing that is memorizing key passages in your heart and in your life. Now let me get a little feel of where you fellows are. How many of you this is kind of a new subject, this whole idea of scripture memory. Anyone this is kind of the inauguration idea, huh? Okay, new subject. How many of you have been memorizing for, you know, several years, a couple years or 2 or 3 years? How many have been memorizing longer than that? Okay, so we've got a little smattering. I think if I looked at the verses that I started memorizing was back in 1959 or so, 1960. And I'll give you a little illustration. I was really excited about scripture memory. We had a little beginning with Christ packets and going on with Christ, and you know, I flat got through those, and I was, you know, I felt like a Bible scholar, and I was preaching scripture memory to everybody. And so I was at a conference like this on a weekend, and I saw this guy who looked like he needed it, and I proceeded to give him the sell on scripture memory. I got the B rations out. I showed him what it was, how to do it. You know, I was almost getting them on the first verse memorizing. And after a while, he kind of stopped me. He says, Bruce, he says, I really appreciate your enthusiasm and your conviction on scripture memory. But he said it might be good to ask, you know, the guy if he is memorizing scripture before you go after this. He said, I've been memorizing scripture for about 20 years now. That was a little deflation, you know. But it wasn't because I wasn't enthusiastic about it. But, you know, when we talk about scripture memory, what is our motive? What is our goal? What are we trying to do? If we're just trying to impress people with verses that we know, I think we're on the wrong track. Because, you know, if you're in a Bible study with a group of men in the average church situation, and you quote 10 verses successfully, what do they think you are? Huh? I mean, they think you're some kind of a prophet from the East, you know? I mean, this guy's a Bible scholar. And if you quoted 5 verses with a non-Christian, what does he think you are? Huh? I mean, you're some kind of a rabbi or something. I mean, good night. Where'd you get all that verses? And so it doesn't take very many verses to impress somebody, does it? Huh? I mean, you can have 10, 15 verses, and man, they think flat down, you must be a... Have you gone to seminar? Are you a Bible scholar? Or, you know, do you live in the Bible all your life? So, for the guy who is trying to salt away the Word of God in your heart, there's some other higher motives than just impressing people. Because it doesn't take much to impress somebody. Now, maybe some of your old-time navigator friends that, you know, 10, 15 verses or 100 verses doesn't really impress them too much. But anyway, that's certainly our goal. I think Isaiah verse 54, 50 verse 4, is a good motivation verse. Someone want to look that up once and read it, or if you've got it memorized, Isaiah 50 verse 4. I'm on this little outline here of how to maintain, and I'm just in introduction, so you can kind of write some things down in that particular deal. Isaiah 50 verse 4. What does that say?
So the Lord God has given me the tongue of the disciples, so I may know how to sustain the weary one with the word. He awakens me morning by morning, he awakens my ears to listen as a disciple.
Okay, what does that tell you about kind of a goal? What do we want out of scripture memory according to that verse? Yeah.
Trying to help people.
Okay. Okay. Trying to help people. What else? Huh? Okay, be a disciple.
Listen to the Lord.
Uh-huh. Okay. Do you want to have the tongue of the learned? Do you want to be able to address the problems and the needs and the circumstances and things that people are going through, to be able to address those from the Word of God? Well, I don't know of any other way, really, than a successful plan of scripture memory to be able to do that. And when we're dealing with discipling men, it certainly has a lot more effect to say, well, brother, why don't we look at this verse? And you know where to go. Rather than say, well, I think I've heard about that somewhere, or the preacher talked about that last week. Let me think here. What was that? I kind of think it went something like this. Does that have... I mean, you've kind of lost your audience. And when you're able to speak as the tongue of the learned and speak a word in season to him that's weary, God can use you effectively, very effectively, in a man's life. But I think there's also a counterpart where it says, he wakens my ear, what? To hear. When? Morning by morning by morning. And I need, when Jesus said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. It wasn't just that unclog your ears, but unclog your heart. Unclog your motivation to serve me and your obedience. Listen what I say and then put it into practice. And of course, when we look at the hand illustration, you're familiar with the hand illustration where we hear and read and study and memorize and meditate on the Word of God, a way to get the handle on the Word of God. Every one of those scriptures that you look up is hear and apply, read and apply. You know, it's not abstract. It's not I'm just trying to put it in there. I knew a fella, and I've known other fellas, that had several thousand verses memorized. And yet, it didn't seem to get out of his head, into his heart, and into his feet. The practical application of what he had memorized didn't quite get in his feet. And so our goal is to be able to see it operate in our lives and become what God wants it to be. I've been... reading through and meditating through Psalm 119. And I'd like to just share a few verses with you as we're going along that as we look at this particular Psalm 119, of course, all 150 verses are, or 175 verses or six, are on the Word of God. Some aspect of the Word of God. And I'm just having a rich time going through and thinking through what does this have to say. In Psalm 119:97 through 104, the psalmist here gives us a great deal of insight on the Word of God. And I'm going to correlate this psalm with Psalm 19, take 100 points off of it, and we're going to kind of bounce between these two as sort of some goals and motivation. Okay, Psalm 119, starting with verse 97. And what I'm going to do is we're going to correlate those six goals, why I memorize, why I be a lifer, with some of these verses. And I thought that Psalm 119:97 through 104 is kind of a correlating passage to Psalm 119 or Psalm 19. In Psalm 119:97, he says, "Oh, how I love your law." It's something that I think about occasionally. Is that what he's saying? What does it say? Okay. Now my question is, how on earth can somebody meditate on the Scripture all day long? Huh? Okay, so Joshua 1:8 is a good key reference there, isn't it? And what does Joshua 1:8 say? Okay, so he says, "This book of law shall not depart out of my mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Okay, and so when we look at that, he says, "Oh, how I love your law, it's my meditation all the day." And as we salt the Word of God into our minds, into our hearts, God has the fodder, as it were, to bring it to our minds and bring it to our hearts. And all day long, as we've got these passages working in our hearts and kind of bubbling and percolating inside, we come across just numerous situations that bits and pieces and phrases and thoughts come to our mind, and we are able to apply them to the circumstance and situation that we're in. And it nourishes us. It just continually nourishes us as we meditate on the Scripture. Now, sometimes you have to physically, in a sense, pull those verses in to be able to memorize them or meditate on them, and that's where review comes and all that. But for the most part, once they're memorized, they begin to become the fodder, the thinking pattern, the ways in which you think. And when I think opposite of the Scripture, what happens? Another Scripture will come in counter and challenge my thinking, and I begin to get convicted. And I say, "Good night, that was wrong." And what do I have to do then? Another verse comes in about confession, and I have to deal with it and making my way straight. And so it's a process going on. And then he says in verse 98, he says, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. You want real wisdom? Well, it's going to come through meditating on the Word of God. No other way. And then he says, through it I have more understanding than all my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients. And if we look at the practical usability of the Scripture as the first point down there, you know, Psalm 119, verse 14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be" what? "Be acceptable to" who? "Thy sight." Don't you want your words of your mouth and what's really going on in your heart to be acceptable to God? He's the judge. And there's no other way, I believe, to have the Word of God in that context in your life than through salting it away in your heart and mind. Now, Dr. Jack Mitchell, up in Multnomah Bible, School of the Bible, you know, he has read books 40, 50, 100 times, so that he has got it so locked in his mind that he has it kind of memorized through just overuse. And, you know, he may not get the exact reference, but he can just think through on the page and tell you what the verse says. And that's certainly a way. And so 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about what? What does 2 Timothy 2:15 say? No? Okay. Okay. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. Are there times when you're talking to another man or you're trying to even school yourself? Yeah, if that can be shut off, that'd be terrific. Okay. Is it getting hotter?
See those two switches? See the switch other thermostat.
There is a blower system there. If we could, is it kind of loud? Is that the?
Yeah.
Why don't we check that one? I know one of those switches over there might shut them off too, because there's some blower system there. There we go. Great. Thank you. Well, that helps a lot, doesn't it? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. And I find that in my own life, as well as the lives of other men, that there's a lot of occasions where I'm ashamed because I could have given a word in season to him as weary, and I couldn't get it out. And I go back, and I'm having my quiet time or thinking, I said, man, if I would have remembered that verse, it would have been applied it right to his heart. And I don't know about you, but you hear a sermon on Sunday morning, and you think, boy, that was a trip. Man, that was such a blessing. And unless you write it down and commit some of the verses to your memory, or that you go and try to find, you go try to recall that a week from now, and you're in trouble. And so maybe we can just turn the heat down so that it won't come back on. So a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, and it says rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that mean? Rightly dividing the word of truth.
In NAS, better, I think so.
Okay.
Handling accurately.
Okay, handling accurately the word of truth. Being able to apply it and use it in the proper situation and in the quantity or whatever else you're talking about. And that's what we're talking about. Practical usability of the scripture. And so he says in the next one, nourishment of mind. We've already quoted Joshua 1:8. To meditate on it day and night. In this particular passage in Psalm 19:8, it says enlightenment of the eyes. It'll give enlightenment to your eyes. And if you want to correlate some passages on Psalm 119, I'm bouncing between those two passages. But Psalm 119:99, what does that say?
More insight than all my teachers.
Okay. What is he saying? Is that an arrogant statement? I have more wisdom than all my teachers? What is he saying there?
In the second part, he says, well, I have so that I just went to my meditation.
Okay.
It's really the second part, it's not arrogance. It's not what he's focused on.
Okay.
How much you can learn through meditation on the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
His teachers are so knowledgeable, yet you can increase
that. Is there a difference between man's understanding and God's wisdom and understanding? I am amazed how little some PhDs know. And it's because their schooling is the wisdom of men rather than the wisdom of God. And you can be brilliant and yet be ignorant. I have a Bible study with some men And some of the men who are coming to this Bible study are, you know, ex-drug addicts and, you know, everything you can think of. There was even some fellows in the study that couldn't read, and they began to memorize Scripture and began to meditate on Scripture. And it's amazing to me, in a year, how wise they are. And how much understanding of God they have. And how much authority they speak with. Because God is changing them from the inside out through His Word. And it's a thrill. I mean, it's a thrill to see that. I've seen men who, you know, in life can hardly get out of first gear and get out of bed and begin to memorize Scripture, and it begins to turn them on and they become really powerful in their lives. And so here's a situation where he says, they have given me more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation, and I understand more than the ancients. And if you want to be a man who is in tune with God and what's on God's heart, there's no better way than to commit God's Word to your heart and mind. Because then you're on the inside track. You're on God's thinking patterns rather than your own thinking patterns. And you know, when Jesus had His ministry on earth, what was a statement that He kept telling them? He kept saying, "You have heard from old, but I say to you." Isn't that right? "You have had this, but I'm telling you this." What was He really saying? You got to change your thought patterns. You got to change the way you think. And when I came to know Christ at about 18 years old, you know, I had a backlog of 18 years of my own thinking. And I had to change my thought patterns. And I've had to change my thought patterns all through my life. Because I don't think like God in the normal day. I never learned how to think like God in business classes or in college or, you know, in any other education. I never learned how to do that. But through God's Word, I began to think like God, how He values things. And that gives me greater insight and greater wisdom than my teachers or the ancients. I can't learn how to live for God by Plato or Socrates or any other philosopher or anything else. In fact, the Scripture says, "Beware of the philosophies of men." And so I made a decision when I was an early Christian that I was going to become a man of this book. And that's where I've concentrated my effort. Now I've, you know, it's not a straight line graph up. But there's been some basic commitments that I've made with regard to the Word of God, and it's begun to change my life. When I think of Psalm 19, or let me look at Psalm 119 again, and all of you know 9, 10, and 11. You know, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed therefore according to thy word." You know, "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You want to have victory in your life? Well, it comes from the Word of God. But I like the last part of it. In 15 and 16, he says, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways, and I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word." What did he just say there? Did he make kind of a little resolve? Huh? Did he make a resolve regarding the Word of God? He's made a decision of the will, didn't he? Not just a decision of the mind. He made a decision of the will where he says, "I will meditate, I will contemplate, I will delight, and I will not forget." And that's where our decisions are. That's where we make those kind of commitments. One of the things that, if you've got children, one of the greatest investments that you can make in their lives is to help them memorize Scripture. And each one of our kids, it's been a struggle. It's not been easy. It's not been one of the most delightful things that they, at the time, you know, it was, there were some times where we said, well, we're just going to do this. But my son, Eric, and Doug's son, Shiloh, is up at the Air Force Academy. And, I mean, they have a pretty rigorous schedule up there, their time and so forth. But he was home this last weekend, and he just made an offside comment of how much those verses that we memorized is making an impact in his life up at the academy. He says, you know, when I'm reading along and when I'm studying the scriptures and I come across those verses that we've memorized, it just kind of like drives another stake down in my life, and it's another solid stake that's real. And we didn't solicit that, but he was encouraging his sister, our daughter, who's 14 and we're working on the TMS, to keep after it, you know, to keep those verses, because it'll pay off big dividends in your life down the road. I thought, hey, that's where it's at, isn't it? And what greater heritage can we give our children than the Word of God? You're in Psalm 119. Look over at verses 11, Psalm 119, 111, and 112. I was going over this the other morning, and he says, your testimonies I have taken as what?
Heritage.
A heritage forever. What kind of heritage are you leaving? I have taken your testimonies, your word, as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes. How long? Huh? Till the very end. And, you know, Ecclesiastes says there's no discharge in that battle. You get in the military and you do get a discharge, but there's no discharge in the battle of life. You never get in your motorhome, drive off in the sunset, and you're out of the Christian life and just able to live on your own now. Because until the very bitter end, the last gasp on your bed, you are in a battle. And what the psalmist is saying, I have made a decision to take your word as a heritage, and that's something you pass on, isn't it? What kind of heritage are you passing on to the men you're working with and to your children and even in your own life? And he says, I've made a decision to keep it and doing this till when? Till the end. All of us are going to have an end. My wife's grandmother lived to be 100, going on 105. She went through her 104th birthday. So, you know, there might be some long livers here. Have you prepared in your mind and heart to be a man of the Word of God till the end? And I think until you make a decision like that, you won't keep memorizing Scripture, and you won't be meditating on the Word day and night. That's a decision that we make. Well, how about discerning God's will? How does the Word of God play a part in discerning His will? What does 2 Timothy 3:16 say and 17? Huh? Okay. Okay. And that the man of God, okay, that the man of God may be adequately equipped or mature or perfect really to do anything that God asks you to do. And so if you want to discern the will of God, can you discern the will of God apart from the Word of God? Don't work. You can't get it out of the air. It's something that God, and I've found that as I have made a practice of spending quiet time on a daily basis and meditating on the Scripture, that knowing God's will is a piece of cake. Because it's a gradual thing. It's over a period of time. It just kind of impresses things on your mind and hearts and prepares you for the next step. And it just sort of begins to fall in place. And yeah, there's times that you have to go and cry before the Lord and plead before the Lord and get your heart right and get direction and get focus and vision. But for the most part, God's Word leads you into a correct path. And that's a part of discerning God's will. And what better way than having the Word of God on your heart and in your mind, and God uses that as a wellspring of knowledge and encouragement. And you have a question in your mind, and a verse comes. Question in your mind, a verse comes. A problem, a verse comes. And it's a continuous thing that He's doing inside your own heart and mind. Have you found that to be true? And that's one of the values of Scripture memory, because it's there and it works. How about victory over sin? We just quoted Psalm 119:9 through 11. How can you do this? Well, you take heed according to thy word. Well, how do you do that? Well, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, it says might not. You can have the word of God there, but unless you heed and apply, you're not going to have victory. It's not a guarantee. Like the guy that I said had a couple thousand verses memorized and was always getting tripped up because it hadn't got from the level of memory to application. And so it does keep us from sin. Let's look at Psalm 119, verses 101. What does Psalm 119, 101 say about victory over sin? Okay. So he says, I've restrained my feet from what? Every evil way. Why? That I may keep your word. And then look at verse 104. What does that say? Okay. I gain understanding from your word or your precepts. Therefore, I do what? I hate every false way. Now, in order for you to understand what a false way is, what does it have to be matched up against? Truth and the Word of God. And what better way to match up truth and questions and issues than by the sharp line of the Scripture that you've got salted away in your heart? And boy, I could not count the number of times that I was going in a direction and I was getting off course a little bit, and Scriptures came to my mind and just brought me right on track. That's what the psalmist is saying here. Your precepts, your testimonies, I've gotten understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. And part of discerning whether it's the Spirit of God or something else is matched up against the Word of God. We've heard that in every message here, haven't we? So what better way to get it in our hearts? I think Psalm 19, 2 through 13, it says, cleanse me from secret faults. And the Word of God, it says, is the light or lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly in our hearts. And when we think about that, the Word of God is just like a radar scan running in our conscience and in our minds and in our hearts and just kind of running all the time. And as it begins to detect areas of waywardness or sin or dishonesty or whatever else, what does it do? It focuses right on it and begins to illuminate our hearts. And it wears us down in a sense. It begins to hold the standard up, and we get under conviction, and God delivers us from that. So you want purity of thought? Like Gene Ward said this morning, how do you get purity of thought life? Substitution. With what? God's Word. And you saturate your mind with the Scripture, and your mind is cleansed. So, in that next area, soul winning. How does Scripture memory help in soul winning, or in evangelism, or in witnessing, or whatever you want to term it? Huh? It does give us confidence because we know what God says. What else?
What I was saying before, where somebody's looking for help in their lives and you're able to pick something out for them, they will hand it immediately to them.
Uh-huh. And you kind of, you know, he says to be able to give a word in season to him, this word, in the right dosage and in the right passage. And, you know, isn't it a thrill when a guy's got a need or a problem and you've talked to them about it and say, brother, why don't we look at this passage? And he says, man, that's right on. Doesn't that encourage your heart? And it comes out of the overflow or the abundance of scriptures that God has given you in your mind and heart. And even when I just had the beginning with Christ and the little going on with Christ packet, I remember going up to Massachusetts from my base one time, and there was a friend of mine who had just got out of seminary. He was pastoring this little church, and we were having some time together. And, you know, I'm a neophyte. I'm just out of the chute. And we were talking about follow-up. And I said, hey, I've got these, you know, these five verses really have helped me in helping a guy get underway. And the guy said, what are those? And so I shared the beginning with Christ with him. And this pastor got so excited. He says, I've never seen anything like that before. And he says, can I get those? And you know, and how do I do that? And I thought, I can't believe this. Here's a guy through seminary. And he didn't have any practical tools. What did he have? He had head knowledge without a practicability. And if we want to be practical in our witness and practical in our disciple making, you know, it just boils down to some practical tools. Here's a verse that will really change your life on that issue. And the guy memorizes, and what happens? His life begins to get changed. Because he thinks about it, applies it, and commits it to his mind and heart. God's Spirit begins to use it and begins to change his thought patterns. And what happens? He changes. And you can talk him till you're blue in the face with every other thing going, and he may not get the picture. And what a tool. Well, I think we've talked a lot about this. Let's look at Psalm 119, 59, and 60. Talk about application. I thought about my ways and turned my feet towards your testimonies. I made haste, did not delay to keep your commandments. Is that what meditation is? I thought about my ways, I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Boy, what a life changer. What a way to use the Scripture in meditation. Well, those are just some maybe motivational goals and ideas, and whatever I was thinking this morning. I woke up early and was kind of thinking about the workshop and that. You know, whatever I target, I must also habit. And whatever I habit, that's what I live. Or I live it. And so what I put the focus on, what I target, I've got to work into a habit. Otherwise, I can't keep it going. And whatever becomes a habit, I begin to live it. It becomes part of my lifestyle. So we're talking about scripture memory, and there's a little illustration that I've got here. It looks like a target. And so we're going to talk about some mechanics here anyway. Okay, whatever I target, I must habit. I got to make a habit out of it. Of the targets? Yeah. Anybody else not have one of these? And whatever I habit, that's what I live it. Or how I live it. I need to work on that a little bit and kind of make it totally rhyming, but you get the idea. Whatever you sow, you reap. Now, for those of you who have, you know, are just getting into scripture memory, I have mentioned the beginning with Christ and going on with Christ. It's two packets of verses that the navigators have. And I would say, you know, these are great little tools for follow-up and for initiating. If you want to go farther, we've got a system called the topical memory system, which is 60 verses. And Robert, why don't you just give a little thumbnail sketch of what that is and how that's helped you?
Well, I started memorizing these the 60 verses last year after the conference, and it's broken up into five sections and by topics. And then with each one of those general sections, there are topics of two verses per general topic within those five sections. And it really also it tells you a few things in the system. Part of the system of memorizing it is also reading the context around the verses, which has been very good for me, and also meditating on those scriptures.
Uh-huh.
And the review process of every week, reviewing the prior week's verses and the prior sections that you've memorized, really helps you. And it's really been the foundation of my devotion time this last year.
Hmm.
It's been a very good time. But like I was talking before, you've got to stick with it.
Mm-hmm. So you've got, basically, you've got 30 topics that you're memorizing verses under, and two verses under each subject. And so it's just a system to help you kind of get a handle. You're wanting to zero in on the scripture. And, of course, the core is a bullseye in the center there. And as I was thinking about, I've worked on all different kinds of ways to try to keep back review and try to keep my thinking straight and where I'm going and, you know, a system. And as I thought about it, as far as my own experience, here's what my scripture memory plan looks like. That at the core of my life, there are several hundred verses that, in a sense, I couldn't forget if I wanted to. You know, they are so overlearned and so overused, in a sense, that they're just part of the fabric of my life. And they're verses that continuously come to my mind and God uses, and verses that have meant things to me in special ways in my quiet time, or I've been going through different deals in my life or troubles or needs, or God gave me a promise on this or that. And most, or, you know, 60 verses of them are the early TMS when I was memorized. I think we had 108 verses when we had the TMS before. And so, you know, those verses are just there. Why are they there? Why are they in my life? Okay. I've used them, and I've reviewed them, and I've just kind of majored on them. You know, when I was learning them, and I overlearned them. And the mind if you overlearn something, it's just, I mean, it's just there. And those are the core verses. And then there's some verses that are sharp. Just one look at them, and I can quote the verse to you. Just one kind of quick review or just a glance at it, and they're right there. And they're verses that I've worked on, and they're really sharp, and yet sometimes I need a little help, or you know, I need to review those. And the more I review them, what happens? The more I draw them into the core, the more those verses become kind of permanently etched in my spirit and in my mind. Then I have some verses that are kind of fuzzy, and I do need to look at. I do need to, you know, to recall it. And then there's verses that I have what I call bits and pieces. You quote a phrase to me, and I can complete the verse. Or maybe I'll be reading along, and I come up with a phrase or a reference, and I can't quite quote the whole verse, but it's if I go back to I got it. And then there's verses that are familiar with me. I've known them and memorized them in the past, and I've let them slip out the circle farther out. They're kind of familiar out there, and in those last two circles, I have to use my concordance a lot to get them back. I just can't pull the reference out, or I can't get the whole reference, or I can't get the whole verse. But I've got to pull my concordance out and get it back in focus. So my objective, as I was looking at this diagram, is depending upon how I approach my review system. Like I said there in this aerial, the lack of review and usage moves verses towards the rim. It's like centrifugal force. It's like the wheels going around, and if I don't use them, I'll lose them. Do you find that true in your own scripture memory plan? That the longer you neglect them, the longer you don't review them, the fuzzier they get, to the point where they're out on the outer rim, and for all practical purposes, they're not usable until you do something with it. Isn't that right? Now, if your review system is working, what happens? You're pulling them in. You're drawing them in. And in a sense, the core, the center, is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and you're able to retain more and more of the Scripture, right? So review is a very key concept when it comes to Scripture memory. If you want to retain the verses that you have memorized, I don't know of any other way than to review them. There's just no other way. I mean, I just have to make a commitment to that. And I know there's been periods of time where I've gone through and Scripture memory was a giant big burden to me or something. I mean, just... And so I dropped it. Now I suffer the consequences of it because they start spinning out. And I begin to get in places, what was that verse again? What was that? You know, and it's an indication to me, hey, you haven't reviewed that verse for a long time. No wonder you can't bring it back. And so it's a motivation and encouragement to me to get back doing it. So this helps me to do. And so as I look at this, How many verses do you want to have at the core? Now, obviously, I don't know. I've, you know, gone through my verses and through the years, I don't know how many, you know, 1,000 verses I've memorized. But to say that they're all in the core, I would be a hypocrite in saying, you know, that's true. But what I want to do is to keep making that inner circle bigger. And more useful and more categorized. And that's kind of where I'm working on. And so one of the things John Crawford, maybe you've been to a scripture memory workshop with him, you know, he was He was telling me his own story about when he was in his late 50s. He was driving in a car someplace with a bunch of businessmen going to a conference, and they were sitting reviewing in the back of the car, and boy, just cracking out these verses like this, just going. And he was driving, and the longer they went, the more he got under conviction. And he said, here I am, a navigator, supposed to be doing this stuff, and these businessmen are just putting me to shame because I don't have an active review system like that. And so he made a vow to reclaim the verses that he had memorized and reclaim some books that he had memorized and so forth. And so he made a concerted effort to do it. And so what he did was basically take a book like James or John or one of the books that he memorized, went through and just got all the verses that he had memorized in there and began to put them in line and just began to meditate his way through the book and do that. And I've done some of that, and it's really been an encouragement to me. I'm working on the Gospel of John right now, and what I did was I just took my Bible and I took and Xeroxed the pages on the Bible and then cut them up, the verses that I've got memorized, and just put them in a row and then put some, laminated it so that's permanent. And so I'm walking through the Gospel of John, reclaiming it. Now, I got a lot of verses. I'm encouraged how many verses I know in the Gospel of John. But to put it like this and think through it and have some guys check me out and so forth really helped me to reclaim it. I'm doing a study in Romans right now with some guys, and that's what I'm going to do with Romans is bring it up to date. So, that's what I'm trying to do, is bring more into the core, bring more into the focus. And the only way I know how to do it is, put it on some cards and review them. And there's a few verses that I, hadn't memorized in sequence or so, and I said, gee, why didn't I ever memorize that one? That's a great one. So I kind of slipped those in, so I'm having to memorize some verses as I'm going through also, yeah. And out of my reading program through the years, I'll circle verses, or I had a future memory list. I say, man, that's a great verse I want to memorize. So I put it on a future memory list. And I'm sure you had verses that Gene Warwick quoted out, or Leroy, or Jim White, or somebody at the conference here, and you just put a little star by him, say, that verse I really want to memorize. So when you get home, put it on a little do list, and as you're making out your new verses that after you get through the TMS, just pick out those verses and put them on a card and start memorizing them.
So you just basically
decide
as you go.
Yeah. Now, what I did for a number of years was that the TMS, has got 30 subjects. And some of those subjects were subjects that, I never could quite get a handle on. I mean, they just weren't my thinking pattern. And so what I did was went through and wrote down all the subjects that my mind thinks about and just put verses under that subject. What does it mean to pray, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, you actually used their outline.
Yeah, you can expand that outline out. I would say if you've memorized the TMS and really got those topics down, really down, then keep expanding out on those subjects. So when you go to memorize a new verse, you kind of think, what subject does this really talk about? And then put it underneath, one of the subjects in the TMS, and actually title it that, so you're just expanding out those verses from the TMS. So it gives you a framework all the time. I did a very extensive study. I was at the University of Missouri in a doctorate program type thing, and I was doing a study on essentials of learning, and so I made a a study on the function of the mind as applied to scripture memory. So I did all this research and tried to figure it out. And I came up with a diagram of how the mind works. And the mind is really like a filing system. And you have a conscious mind that you're just, you know, you're getting to the chow hall and remembering that there's a meal coming up. And, you're just kind of walking around, at least somewhat coherent. But there's the subconscious mind where more than 90% of our thinking goes on, just kind of there. And when you memorize a verse, the reason why you need to review it consistently over a period of time and actually overlearn it, and if we would use the topical memory system, how many weeks is that that you should be reviewing a verse daily before you've got it down? How many is it in the TMS? 14 days? Well, really, if we look at it, it's about 7 weeks. If you reviewed that verse every day for 7 weeks, you could not forget it. Now, what all that's done is just taken it from the conscious mind and made a link into your subconscious mind with a very strong thread under a subject, that whenever that subject comes up, what comes in your mind? That verse. And it's in the filing cabinet. You know, here's the filing cabinet under that subject. So when you're memorizing the TMS and you've got 30 topics and you've got those really down, then your mind, has, with the conscious mind and subconscious, has kind of got them in a form that's just kind of a filing system sitting there. And whenever you want to recall it, you've got it. It's there. And then you've got subtopics underneath it, and it's just filed away. And that's how your mind works. Now, there's, as I was going through in there, there's some subjects that just trigger me outside of the TMS. So I just made topics on them and filed them away. Yeah.
There was a guy in one of the seminars yesterday that took
some radio shackles, 30 seconds. Yeah. Good idea. Yeah. Overlearn it. So what he was doing, you can buy a radio shack, a 30-second tape, put the verse that you're trying to memorize on that tape, and then plug it into your cassette recorder as you're driving around and kind of review it with it. You know, if you did that every day with a new verse in a week, man, you'd have it down. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's a good idea. And any other questions while we're on subject of questions? What?
I don't know if we're going to get into this a little later, but the one thing that has really jumped out at me is number 3 of the helpful hints.
Okay.
We can follow that later.
Okay. Let's look at that. There's a this one deal I've from Smirnoff.
It's on the front page.
Okay, but I was just going to talk about some helpful hints, too. But let's look at that. Number 3 of tips. How does that help you? The helpful hints.
I was just wondering if you could...
Don't let guilt consume you?
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Okay. What I mean by don't let guilt consume you is that it's a process. And don't have your standards higher than your ability to do it at the time. You might say, yeah, I'd like to be a walking Bible. You know, I'd like to be able to memorize this whole book, but it's going to take some time. And you're going to fail on it. So just keep after it. But have your standard is, listen, I want to have the Word of God operating in my life so that... The goal is that I become a man of the Word and a man of God. Is this happening? Yes. And so there are times when you're just absolutely beat. And boy, I sit there and try to remember some of my core verses, and it's like mush. I mean, where'd my mind go? One of the first things to go is your mind. You know, and maybe you just need a nap and, you know, kind of get refreshed so you can get back to it. But keep it as a standard, but don't let that standard kill you. is what I'm saying. What are you going to say?
I was just going to say, I think it can be intimidating, too. Just looking at TMS, 60 verses, you know, you're talking about your daughter starts first memory at 14. Here I am 10 years later or more, and
been doing it.
Yeah, I'm working on TMS, you know. Like, I got in a Bible study group, and they were already into CPAC. And so I think, I can catch up. So I start on CPAC where they are, and then I'm starting on ACAC also. And I was just getting overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So you really got to just take it one step at a time and be encouraged with what you can do.
Right.
And not get overwhelmed.
Right.
I think that's part of being guilty.
So, you know, if 3 verses a week are something that you can handle, do it. But if you can only get 1 verse a week, at least get 1 verse. Now, some of you guys may be able to consume 10 verses. I mean, you might be able to do that. You might have that capacity. And you may not keep it forever, but, you know, if as long as it's working, keep consuming, you know. But don't let the system kill you, you know. You're trying to get the Word of God in your heart and meditate on it and think on it and use it. And if you get 1 verse a week for the rest of your life, or 1 verse a month for the rest of your life, man, you're going to chalk up, you know, the tally's going to be going. And I'd rather see a guy be consistent and get 1 verse down and use it and do it over a period of time than to get it all done at once and then a year later say, hey, how's it going? Well, I'm not doing it anymore.
It took me 4 years to do the 60.
Okay.
I got frustrated and put it aside and went back to it. And when I got through it, I felt a great sense of accomplishment. But looking back, if someone's starting now, you're going to get opposition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Can you speak about rebellion and cheating there?
Okay. Let's just kind of go through that little deal. Time, some of the problems. I think as I was looking at myself, I didn't take enough time to analyze the passage and sort of the context. And that's one of these little charts here, like Smirnoff, is how to get a little deeper comprehension. You can read through that. When we did a little seminar on scripture memory, how steps to memorize a verse. Now, these aren't all the steps you got to do. But these were a collection of what people had found and what I had found that gave me helps and tips on memorizing a verse. So read through that. You know, read the verse in context, examine the verse. The more you apply some of these things, the more easier it's going to be to memorize the verse. Yeah.
I just came from a conference on rehabilitation and they were talking about memorization.
Okay.
And or trying to pull information. And they found that people who use all 5 senses to recall information did much better than any other form of memory.
Huh.
So if you can, in a sense, the way the brain works too, each of the areas has specific executive functions. So some are auditory, some are verbal, some are visual, some are taste, smell, touch. So if you can, as you write it, say it out loud, see it, in a sense, even create a smell or some, you know, whatever you're going to do with it, get all 5 senses involved, and more of your brain will be involved in memorizing rather than one small part. So when you try to recall it, any stimulus from any of those values will be caused.
See, what we did a curve when I did a little study on this when I was doing this paper, and I had a group of students. We were memorizing a passage they did not know. It was a passage they didn't know. And so at first I just had them do it rote, you know, just run it through. And then we read a book, or read a passage book, and then I asked them to recall what they'd memorized. And we kind of charted that. Then the next time a verse, we took and spent some time in the context and understanding it and, you know, that kind of, and then memorized it and did the same thing. And then the next time we put it on mental hooks and, you know, just all different kinds of creative ways to think about that verse. And the curve was just going up like this. The more time we put with it and the more understanding we got with it, the better we are able to memorize it. And so that's a lot of those thoughts are just on this sheet here. Now, rebellion. I've had people say, hey, that's kid stuff. I don't want to do that. I can't memorize. You know, all this kind of stuff. And I think it's just resistance from the idea, I'm not going to do that. And, you know, sometimes I have to work through that in my own life. You know, I hate to go through this deal stuff. You know, it takes work. When I was when I'm memorizing these passages in John, boy, there were a couple of mornings that I just literally cried out to the Lord, God, it's so difficult for me to do this. You've got to open up my mind and heart to get this. And it was like a cloud over me. I couldn't get past the cloud. And when I began to pray and claim the promises of God and begin to, in a sense, rebuke the enemy, my mind cleared up and I was able to memorize it. Do you think Satan wants to hinder you from memorizing his word? Huh? Does he want you to have victory in your life? He doesn't want you to do that. And so there's going to be times you got to do battle. You got to fight the battle to memorize. You got to discipline your mind. Yeah.
As who was it that said the other day, if he's not battling against us to some extent, sometime or another, then we better look back on our commitment.
Uh-huh.
I mean to the Lord. I mean,
yeah. Sure. Well, I just put down some things that, you know, it does take time. Sometimes we have to deal with the rebellion in our own heart. People fail because of lack of a system, and that's why we created the topical memory system and everything else, just to give a guy a tool. Now, there's a lot of other tools out there. There's Lucas has a memory program. Some of you have seen that Lucas deal where, you know, all the hieroglyphics and you die. You know, I tried to do that, and it's harder for me to memorize all those deals. It blew my circus. I couldn't do it. But whatever system, huh? Yeah, he's got, Jerry Lucas has a deal where you draw pictures of the verse and you tie it to this monkey hanging there, you know, and all this stuff. And I don't know, I wasn't creative enough to do that. So, and I put down, you know, cheating, if you kind of continually look at your verse cards as you're going through, so you need little memory stimuluses all the time to recall it, that's what I kind of call cheating. One of the keys when you're memorizing, and I help guys when they're first memorizing verses, is say you're memorizing 1 John 5:11 and 12, assurance of salvation. Now, if you say all of that sentence, all of the reference, the subject, and the first statement of that verse in one sentence, what that does is in your mind, you're tricking your mind a little bit, because you've got the first phrase of the verse memorized with the topic and reference all in one sentence. What we usually do, assurance of salvation, stop. 1 John 5:11, 12, stop. This is the record that God, stop. You know, we kind of do it like that. But if we can get in a pattern of saying assurance of salvation, 1 John 5:11, 12, and this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and we get that flow going, we've tricked our mind a little bit to have that first statement on the verse hooked with the subject and reference, and you'll be able to recall it easier. And so just kind of work at that. Rather than, kind of stopping and jerking and stopping and jerking, and then a lot of guys have the reference, they don't have the first word of the subject. You know, give me the first word. Once you get the first word, you're off and running. See? So memorize the first word with your statement. Assurance of salvation, 1 John 5:11, you know, just say it in a like that. And review it that way. And then, you know, you've memorized. Why do we do that? Well, because of the filing system out there again, isn't it? You've got assurance of salvation, that's one subject and filing system. 1 John 5:11 and 12, that's the address. And the first word, this is the record that God has given us eternal life. So really in your filing system, you've got three different little mental jogs on that one verse to recall it. Sometimes you have a reference, you know, you can remember the reference, or sometimes the subject, or you know, you're researching it in three different ways. And you just overlearn it that way and you got it. So, you know, kind of beware of the cheating business, learn it well, and then really try to recall it.
Not memorizing the word perfect.
Okay. Kind of a generalist. living, you know, your own living Bible, translation according to Bruce. And I think lack of a goal or a target. What do you really want to accomplish? And, you know, Robert here obviously had a target and a goal because he memorized the TMS since he left the conference last year and memorized it this year. So he had a target and he had a goal, and you can check that up and work at it. How did the new guys get a hold of TMS? Where are
you?
Huh? Where are you? Where are you? Huh? And who are you? Who are you in contact with, Navigator? Which Navigator are you in contact with? None? Well, I'd encourage you to get a TMS and
They have catalogs here. Also, they have a Joshua Taylor shelf.
If you any bookstore, you just go in and say, "I want a Navigator's TMS," and they should have it.
Or they can order it
for you. I think they're $8.95 for the whole system. That gives you. Okay.
I'll look around to see what I can do after those.
Yeah, you were asking about it. They just came out with this thing, Life Issues, and it's got a bunch of verses to...
It's a little different format. I don't remember how many there are, 12 or something like that.
Life Issues.
Knowing God's Will, the first one, and there are six verses in each one of these categories, and... There's an article at the front of each one of them, and then they give you a lot of other verses related to that same that same issue. So if you didn't like some of those,
you have your hand up.
Where did you start with little children, or where did you start with your?
Well, there's a companion topical memory system that are rather than the whole verse, there's phrases or. You know, parts of the verse, and you can start with little children, and it's also part of the topical memory system, but it's for kids, and that's neat way to do it. Otherwise, you can just take the TMS, and you'd be surprised with kids. I'll tell you a little secret about the mind. Before puberty, don't mind that. Before puberty, the mind is just fluid. It's just very fluid, and kids learn by absorption. That's how you learn language. Before puberty, you're just exposed to a language and you pick it up. When we were in Holland, our daughter could speak two languages, and she was only, four or five or so. And we would talk to her in English. She had talked to somebody in Dutch, and just flowed back and forth like this. Now she doesn't know any Dutch. And what happens in the mind is that the center for memory or the center for languages and that is, like I say, fluid. It's like a sponge. It just absorbs it. Once you get past puberty, it begins to solidify on that information or that language that you have learned to that point. And after that, you've got to learn it. When you go to learn a language now, I mean, it's just rote. I mean, I'm learning Greek right now, and God, it's just blowing my mind, you know. I mean, I just have to go through it. Now, if I were in Greece as a kid, I'd just absorb it, no problem. So kids with scripture memory is beautiful. You start going through the TMS with them in a verse, and man, you read the verse a couple of times, they got it, just down. They just got it. And you think, God, I had to work on that forever. And this kid just picked it up. So don't be shy, just because it's hard for you. Don't translate that for kids. And what a beautiful way before their puberty to get those verses down and get them functioning.
Even verses that we used to have a pastor, music pastor, who used to have the verses that he had for us to sing and.
Uh-huh.
You can stick a verse to music.
Yeah.
I know Colossians
to seven, but I don't know it if I can speak it. I know it's singing.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a wonderful way, too, singing the word and so forth. I think that's what all the psalms were, psalms that they sung. Our time is up. Yeah? Yeah. I remember seeing those. Well, you know, I'll give you just for the long haul, stay in the same Bible that you study and read in all the time. Don't flip around from one translation to another unless you're going to illuminate a verse. Like maybe a verse in the Living, you've memorized the verse in the NIV, and you want, here's a companion verse, and you memorize it in the Living or Amplified or something. But don't jump around translations. It'll really mess your mind up. So if you're going to stick with the NIV, stay with it and figure out it for the long haul. And if you've memorized a verse in one translation, don't try to change it in another one. That'll mess your mind up too. And it's good to rework your cards once in a while and put them on clean cards or whatever just to keep that going. Now, I have found that some verses, no matter how hard I work on it, I can't keep them. They're just kind of a mental block. And so, you know, let it go. And keep the ones you can. So the more you review, the more you retain, the less you review, the more they'll become fuzzy in your mind. And it's impossible to keep them fresh unless you keep them running through the grid and keep them in your mind. And I'll say that as a personal testimony. And I'd say enjoy your rewards of memorizing the Word as you go on. So let's, if you talk about a goal, if you went into a scripture memory workshop next year at this time, how far do you want to be? Huh? Do you want to get through the TMS? You want to have 30 verses? You want to have 50 verses? You want 150? What do you want to do? Figure it out, what your capacity is, and get after it. Doug, why don't you close us in a word of prayer, would you?
Father, thank you for reminding us the simplicity of how you use your word to change not only our lives, but give us the privilege of helping pass that on to others. And again, how your Spirit uses your word so effectively. Father, we all make excuses. We all stumble not being who you would have us to be. Father, we want scripture memory to be a vital part of our life, so we can be more usable for you, and we can enjoy the rewards that glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.